talking all things wound care. This is The Pressure Effect, brought to you by Smith & Nephew.
Welcome to The Pressure Effect from Smith & Nephew. I'm your host, Dr. Lee Rutze. Today, we're continuing season 3 of the show, Journeys into Pressure Injury Prevention Quality Improvement. Today's topic is another critical one, change management. Change isn't easy for anyone, especially in complicated environments like hospitals. Joining us to discuss this subject today is Robin Gasparini, DNP, Executive Advisor for Nursing at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm excited to speak with her today about how to approach change with the best chance for success and how that ties into pressure injury prevention. Robin, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So, can you share with our listeners a little bit about your background in healthcare and your experience with pressure injuries, sort of what led you down the path to where you are now?
Absolutely. Great question. So, I've been a nurse for over 20 years, hard to say out loud. I grew up in the cardiothoracic surgery area, was in step down and then critical care for a while. So found myself very interested in wounds. We had a lot of mediastinal incisions and the thoracic incisions that we cared for. I became an educator and was educated as a clinical nurse specialist and served in the practice arena, helping to set policies and guidelines for our staff for several years before moving into an administration route. So I currently serve, as you said, as an executive advisor, where I really get to focus on helping build structures and systems that elevate our nurses, really focus on the professional aspect of our role wherever we choose to deliver our profession, whatever organization we execute our profession in.
Well, to your previous comment, I've been a physician now for almost 40 years. And if you think 20 years is scary, wait till you get to 40. So share with us, if you would, in sort of simple terms, what is change management? I think we all could imagine what this means, but in terms of infrastructure for pressure injury and so on and so forth, what's change management in your world?
Absolutely. I like to think of it as really change design. But we're all doing a little bit of change management every day, whether we know it or not. And I would say that even when we're intentional about it, I don't know that we always execute it perfectly every time. It's very fluid. But really thinking about how we take something that's a new concept, right, and build it and set it up for success and sustainability.
Okay. So one thing that comes to mind is the list of adverse hospital events that we all have been working on for a number of years, caudies, CLABSIs, falls, so on and so forth. And across the country, we seem to have done fairly well with most of those major complications, but we haven't done so well with pressure injuries. So I'm thinking that you've worked with Mayo in Jacksonville to change the approach, perhaps the mindset and the infrastructure of how the facility looks at preventing and treating pressure injury. Is that a fair assumption?
Absolutely. So I've been privileged to work with a number of different organizations, all of which who have a very methodical approach to evaluating opportunities for improvement, really dissecting and trying to get to the root cause, with an intention, not punitive, right, but with an intention that we can prevent these things from happening again or occurring or learning from the things that have happened in the past. And you're spot on. So we know that anybody who has been in healthcare in an inpatient setting, I mean, this is something that we're looking at continuously with pressure injuries. There's been a number of root cause analysis, observations, chart reviews, really trying to understand and dissect the things that are contributing, right, to these, what we would like to say are never events. So we work really hard to have that kind of approach or mindset into all of the things that we care for, specifically around pressure injuries, where we're not really seeing much movement, particularly just before and then during the pandemic.
Oh, gosh. Yes. You mentioned root cause analysis, and I think that's kind of a scary term when people hear it for the first time. And so important to understand that really it's a process to figure out what happened so we don't make the same mistake again, and not a process that is punitive.
Absolutely. It's interesting to hear you say it can be quite scary. And that's very good perspective. When we have tools, we have a number of tools in place that help us identify, you know, maybe what that key issue or root cause is. And some of the tools that we have are so simple to such what feels like a complex term. For example, one of the tools we often use are the five whys. And it's kind of going into the mindset of a three-year-old or five-year-old child and asking why at the end of every sentence. Why? Why? So to hear you say it can be very scary and create some anxiety for those who may not know it, I can appreciate that. However, the approach is very simple. And it's really about not jumping to those conclusions of what we think we should have done or what we need, but really analyzing the data that we have and understanding it and trying to define what we're trying to solve versus jumping into solution.
Can you think of a real world example that illustrates the importance of good change management? Maybe give our listeners some background at what happened at your facility or an example at your facility and how the issue was initially handled. And then I got a couple of follow-ups to that question. But first of all, can you think of a real world example of something that happened at your facility and how you dealt with it?
It's a great question. And I think we can all think of some examples that may require some change management or some change design. Even something as simple or seemingly simple as changing how we document something in our flow sheets. So regardless of what electronic health record we use, we document our cares and treatments and deliveries in flow sheets or in notes that may look different for different roles. When there's a change that's required for the better, right, or because there's a need, maybe it's something that was requested, it still requires a process for staff or a communication tool process to really understand the why behind the change, what it impacts, when it will impact, who it impacts, and who to call if there's questions. So having something organized in a common approach for stakeholders to understand the simple change that may be intuitive enables teams to adopt or move toward a common goal with more ease than having questions or looking for something that might be missing or not understanding why something disappeared or changed. So when you create a narrative for a group of individuals to help them understand why a change may occur, it's a little bit easier to grasp and usually a little bit more positive than the narrative that teams might come up with in their mind if that language isn't given to them.
So when you recognize that a change needs to be made, and you know Mayo Jacksonville is a huge institution, and you've got countless staff members with whom to effect this change. From an interpersonal perspective, how do you get folks together to effect the change? Is it face-to-face? Is it electronic? Is it part of a health stream learning platform? How do you go about getting the message across that, okay, starting next week, we have to change this one thing?
I'd like to even take it a step, rewind it a little bit further to say, hopefully those key stakeholders have had an opportunity to be a part of and or voice or design some of that change, right? And be influencers in that change. But you're right. Sometimes things happen, right? Things happen quickly. And maybe we have to ask teams to adopt something or adopt a change that they didn't have a lot of feedback into. You gave a couple of examples, whether it's electronic or coming together in a room. I think the approach can be varied. I think what's important is that those stakeholders have an opportunity to really understand the drivers behind the change.
Yeah, once again, the why, right?
The why. Looking at the why. And just as, equally important to the why is what happens if we don't do this, right? So here's why, but what are the consequences of not doing this or not doing this right now? And being transparent about this may not feel like the best time, right? Or there may be questions, but, you know, this is why it's important now, or why we feel this is a move in the right direction, and how we're going to support you through what we feel is important for this change.
That just made me think of something that really, this trickles all the way to patient change management. You know, when you tell somebody they have to go home and keep their legs elevated, or they have to go home and not walk on their diabetic foot ulcer, or they have to turn side to side because they have a sacral pressure injury, helping them understand why they need to affect that change goes a long ways towards adherence to what you've asked them to do. Because sometimes, you know, patients aren't willing to ask questions. They leave and say, I wonder what he meant by that. So I think, you know, your example goes all the way to patient care.
I love that.
At the end of the day, why or how can change management principles support pressure injury prevention?
Yeah. So this is something that I've lived firsthand for the past 5 years. And I think that I can give you a number of examples of how this is connected and so important.
Perfect.
We were privileged enough in our organization to adopt the LEAF patient monitoring system to help support our staff's success with pressure injury prevention. This was a team of nurses who had come together with support of the chief nursing officer and designed a plan. They wanted to bring this. They took the product forward to product analysis or value analysis. Various organizations have similar models generally, where this was evaluated for use within the organization. And after the process was completed, which, you know, can take some time, staff who were going to be most impacted by the change weren't aware of the tool that had been approved or the tool that was coming. So this really required us to be very transparent about what was coming by having that good communication plan to help. It really required us to have a great communication plan so that we could help with the adoption and the quality adoption and understanding of this tool. When we launched our tool, while we are an organization that prides ourselves on change design, there was a lot of opportunities where we didn't quite get this one right that we were really able to learn from that helped us with future implementations. So I can give you a few examples of why we think this is important. But again, we didn't want our staff to feel negative or feel like their performance wasn't valued because we had such a negative challenge related to our pressure injuries. It doesn't feel good for staff when they hear that we have these high rates and that it's directly related, you know, or assumed to be directly related to the care provisions that they're giving. It doesn't feel good. And so we tiptoed a little bit around some of the message and the why behind what we were doing. And we were excited about the tool. We thought everybody would be excited about the tool. And we didn't take every opportunity to anticipate resistance that we might get and have an elevator speech or response to that. And that's anticipating resistance is a critical step in any change design plan. And we weren't prepared for that. And so our responses weren't all similar. And what that creates is, looks like we're not on the same page, right? Or it waters down the authority that we have when we're trying to build relationships and help staff feel supported. So that was a key learning opportunity for us. And something that when we finished our implementation, that we were able to go back and really think through the gaps and where we failed in our change management design. So after what we called, quote unquote, a pilot period, where there's a true beginning, middle, and end, we were able to re-implement the tool using the full change management design and our learnings to create some success and sustainability.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And so you've already answered the next question. Why are pressure injury prevention programs challenging to implement? But, you know, there's always resistance to change. And people say, I don't want to do it that way because I've always done it this way and it's always worked for me. And, you know, that's one of the most dangerous sentences in medicine. You know, I've always done it this way. So that's a very interesting perspective on your part. As one of the very bright people in our past, I don't remember whether it was Einstein or anyway, one of them said, those weren't all mistakes. Those were different approaches to allow me to get it right this time.
I love that. And I believe that. And I tell people often, you know, I didn't get to where I am because I'm perfect. I got to where I am because I made a ton of mistakes along the way. And I just figured out what those were and tried to make some adjustments.
And you learn from them.
Yeah. That's right.
So give us a few key takeaways, if you would, for achieving successful change management. And I think this is almost a wrap-up of many of the really insightful things that you've already shared with us. But your key takeaways, is it consistent messaging? Is it leadership buy-in? Is it communication style?
Well, I wish I could narrow it down to three bullets, but I'll do my absolute best. I think about change management design as really being the prerequisites for complex change. And that sounds really fancy. I didn't come up with it. There is a model that exists called prerequisites for complex change. And I encourage our listeners to go out and look that up. But what that model predicts is that with every change, big or small, in any platform, organization, there are five things that have to happen for change to occur successfully. And without any one of those pieces being well thought out or delivered, a very predictable response will occur. So if we don't set a good vision for the plan, then we'll have confusion or we'll have slippage, right, in our start date and plan, false starts, if you will. If we don't have the skills that we need to execute the plan, then we won't be successful. And so it's a unique model. And I think when we think about change management or change design, we have to be really intentional about what it is that we're trying to do and why. So I would say the first key takeaway is carving out some time to be intentional and thoughtful about the steps in the process. The second thing would be, you talked about key messages. So understanding what you're doing and why you're doing it, and checking yourself that what we're doing is for the right reason or it's the important direction, and trying to identify, you know, that language of the why. That message has to be consistent across all leaders. So in my case, our chief nursing officer, our administrators, our nurse managers, anyone who's involved with a team as a stakeholder has to have a consistent message so that we have a unified front, right? And unified approach.
Makes sense. Yes.
The third thing that I would say is critically important is really thinking about the target audience and having a good understanding of what's in it for me. Taking your hat off or that lens that you're seeing your change through, and really thinking about the change that and how the change will be viewed by the people it's going to impact. When individuals can understand why that change is important and how it impacts them, they're more likely to buy in. And that's going to really help with a quality adoption and sustainability of whatever it is that you're trying to achieve.
Makes perfect sense. All right. Well, that just about wraps up our conversation today. Robin, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share? Is there a question that you hoped I would ask that I didn't ask, or a topic that you haven't had a chance to approach? If there is such a thing, go for it.
I want to go back to why change management is important for reduction in pressure injuries. So we learned pretty quickly that our staff had some concerns around implementation of this new tool. And we didn't take the time to be intentional to really think about what some of that resistance would be. In fact, this was a pretty new tool for us, and I don't know that we could have predicted all of the resistance that we were going to get. But what I would say is that there were some key things that were critically important, particularly as we think about pressure injury prevention. So anytime we add something to our bundle or equip our teams with a pressure injury prevention tool, whether it's a new bandage or a sensor or a cream, it was really important for us to be able to explain the why and really highlight that we believe this is going to help you in your success in your care delivery. And just flipping that narrative slightly really helps the teams feel that we're committed to their success and we want to arm them with the tools that they need in order to be successful. So when we think about different tools like the LEAF patient monitoring system, there's a lot of concern about the tool increasing staff's workload. I think we have to be really transparent that the tool was designed to help us achieve our standard of care, right? The standard of care that we say we know we want to deliver. We know that manual manipulation of our patients, turning them, offloading their skin, is critically important as part of our professional standard of care that we provide to prevent pressure injuries. While we believe that we do that and we want to do that every day and it's our intention to do that, we know that it's not top of mind always, right? That things prevent us from being successful in that space. And so taking the time to share that narrative or reframe that narrative for staff that we want to give them tools that help them stay successful, to keep them aware of the standard of care that we're giving and deliver that quality standard of care that we aim to achieve. So being transparent about it may feel like it's increasing our workload. That tells us how far, right? What this is helping us do is achieve our standard of care. So that's the larger the gap is, right? The more we feel this is impacting our workload, the farther away we were from delivering quality that we say we deliver every day.
And I think with our eight population, the severity and the acuity of illnesses that we care for on the inpatient as well as post-acute side is getting greater. And staffing is a challenge. And I think it's a reasonable fear that people have when they go to work every day that something is going to happen that's going to make them learn one more thing, do one more thing. And your top of mind statement is so critically important. And I think that's probably been one of our problems over the years with pressure injury prevention is that it has not been top of mind. You know, it should be one of those things whenever someone walks in the room, whomever it is on the staff that walks in the room, look at the heels, look at the way they're lying. You know, all of us can bring quality to this initiative. But Robin, thank you so much for joining us today. I learned a bunch, and it was another illustration that as every day goes by, there's lots of things to learn. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's it for this episode of The Pressure Effect. I want to say a big thank you once again to Robin Gasparini for joining us today to discuss all things change management. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating or review. I'm Dr. Lee Rutsey, and I look forward to seeing you next time.